Good morning, and thank you for joining us today. I'm Nicolas Baines, Head of IR for Inter Cement. With me here today for our earnings call, or fireside chat, should I say, is Paulo Diniz, our Chief Financial Officer. The presentation will be followed by a question-and-answer session. If you'd like to ask a question, you may send it via webcast. The presentation will be available online, and the webcast link has been provided to you in your registration email. Before we start, please note that on this call, you will hear discussions of non-IFRS financial measures, including EBITDA, adjusted EBITDA, and margins. Reconciliation of these non-IFRS measures to the most directly comparable IFRS financial measures is contained in the accompanying material that supports this call or the annual financial report, which is available at the investor section of our website as well as on the Singapore Exchange website. During this call, we will make forward-looking statements about events and circumstances that have not yet occurred, including outlook and projections of Inter Cement operating activities and their anticipated financial impact on our business and financial results for 2021 and beyond. These statements are based on management's current expectations, and actual results and future events may differ materially due to risk and uncertainty, including those detailed from time to time in filings Inter Cement makes with the Singapore Exchange Commission. Inter Cement disclaims any obligation to update information contained in this forward-looking statement, whether because of new information, future events, or otherwise. Please refer to the Inter Cement 4th quarter 2020 financial report for a basic discussion of the relevant risks and uncertainties. All public information is available on our website. Well, to start this morning, let me ask Paulo to give us a general overview of Inter Cement's top line in the 4th quarter 2020.
Good morning, Nick, everyone. Hope Easter Bunny was very kind to you all, bringing lots of chocolate eggs. Although our first quarter volume was not chocolate, it was also sweet, with a bit more than 5.1 million tons of cement and clinker, an increase of 4.5% when compared to the fourth quarter of 2019. Sustaining the ongoing recovery we have been through since COVID negative impact in the second quarter of 2020. In fact, it should be noted that we had two very different semesters in 2020. While in the first half, volumes were severely hit by COVID and were down 25% in comparison to the first half of 2019, the second half posted a volume in the same magnitude order of the second half of 2019, even if the African operations booked a volume that was 22% lower. In Brazil, the pandemic continued to push consumers' share of the wallet spending into home improvement and de-urbanization, leading to strong self-construction demand. In addition, lowest interest rates remained in place and continue to support a solid growth on housing sector, with increasing number of launches in major cities and countryside developments. Therefore, our operations in Brazil registered a sales volume of 2.2 million tons, an increase of 3% compared to the same quarter of last year. And Nick, important to highlight here that after 4 years of declining volumes, from 2014 to 2018, Brazilian industry registered in 2020 the second sequential year of expanding volumes, despite the COVID pandemic, confirming that we are facing the start of a potential new cement cycle in Brazil. Moving to the neighbor in the next door, Argentina, the overall demand continued to pop up. Economic uncertainty, inflation, and also FX tight controls by the government continue to motivate consumers to allocate any money left into the construction sector as a way to preserve their asset value. Therefore, even though the bulk market continues to be shy, Luma Negra posted sales of 1.6 million tons in the quarter, a growth of 27% over the same period of last year. Traveling now to the other side of the Atlantic, our African operations reached a sales volume of 1.3 million tons, a reduction of 13% over the same period of last year. Egypt was the main volume offender, with a drop of 23% in comparison to the fourth quarter of last year. The local environment remains very, very challenging, as in a context of idle capacity of around 50% in the industry, the state-owned giant player, the Army, persisted to flood the market with low-price cement. In Mozambique, market has been recovering since May, with the resume of some minor infrastructure projects and also with better perspective for agriculture sector. However, due to some unplanned queue problems and also imported clinker quality, volumes in the quarter were down 4% in comparison to the same quarter of 2019, although production was back on track in December. Finally, in South Africa, the country affected the most by the long pandemic lockdown, it started to show positive signs of recovery. Even the bulk market, which was dormant until now, seemed to have woken up in recent months. While the bag market already shows concrete recovery signs, so that operation posted a 3% volume expansion in the quarter when compared to the fourth quarter of 2019. Therefore, as I mentioned before, consolidated volumes continue to move on a positive trend, up 4.5% and reached 5.1 million tons in the quarter, based on the strong market dynamics of our two core markets, Brazil and Argentina.
Great, Paulo. Good to hear that markets are recovering well after COVID impact. Let me expand the top line previous question. Last year, we saw significant emerging market currency depreciation. How Intercement revenues were affected in the quarter in dollar terms?
Good point, Nick. Our 5.1 million tons in the quarter translated into sales of $345 million, a decline of 7% over the fourth quarter of 2019, considering only continued operations as we sold Iguazu in Paraguay last August. Such decline was affected by significant devaluation of currencies on emerging countries, mainly Brazil and Argentina. To give an idea, in a theoretical scenario of stable dollar rates, our top line would have expanded by 15% to $428 million. However, as I kept saying, who said that life is fair, right? In fact, taking a look at our African operations, which responded for 25% of our total volume, basically Mozambique and South Africa had better prices in local currency, but down or flat in dollar terms, while prices in Egypt were down in local and dollar terms due to the challenging industry environment already mentioned. In Argentina, our controlled operations contributed with 30% of our consolidated volume, although Loma Negra has the benefit of its undisputed market leadership position, prices dropped to around $85 per ton, shrinking their revenue in dollar equivalent. Finally, in Brazil, that increased its weight in our portfolio and passed to represent 45% of Intercement's total volume in the quarter. We saw local prices up in local currency and also in dollar terms, although at a lower pace. In fact, not only the current industry structure is much more favorable, but also our revised go-to-market strategy is providing a better balance between distributors and retailers, construction companies and red mix, and micro and meso regions too. Therefore, the revenues jump of 32% in Brazilian reais translated into only 7% in dollar terms due to real depreciation.
Well, Paulo, this is a great recovery in top line in Brazil. And I'm sure we all have in mind the great focus the company had in cost efficiency in recent years. Therefore, could you please go through cost and expenses and the evolution of the EBITDA?
Well, before anything, Nick, let me say that similarly to my comments on our top line of $345 million, I will also exclude the impact of our discontinued operations in Paraguay from costs and expenses. That said, our total cash cost, let's put it this way, included variable cost, fixed cost, and expenses, totally $264 million, a significant decline of 12% in comparison to fourth quarter of 2019. Naturally, that the local currency depreciation worked in our favor when we talk about costs, although we do have several cost elements that are dollar linked. Also, we have the benefit of some utilities tariffs that were kept frozen during the pandemic, mainly in the case of Argentina. However, one thing is for sure. Our industrial KPIs continue to show technical improvements, including calories per kilo of clinker, co-processing, kiln reliability, and kiln performance, reflecting the company's great focus on productivity and industrial efficiency. Moreover, operational cash costs continue to decline as a consequence of the resources streamlining and mitigation of logistics bottlenecks. Putting all these together, we were able to register an adjusted EBITDA of $120 million in the quarter, a 9% increase when compared to the same quarter of 2019. And even more important, EBITDA margin reached 34.8%, an improvement of 5.3 percentage points when compared to the same quarter of last year. Certainly the highest margin in recent years. By the way, I take this opportunity to highlight that the Brazil performance was the main contributor for such an improvement. In fact, the Brazilian operations posted an adjusted EBITDA of $50 million, an expansion of 38% when compared to the fourth quarter of 2019. In addition to a solid EBITDA margin of 38.3%. Naturally, that one cannot forget the resiliency of our controlled operations in Argentina, with an adjusted EBITDA of $45 million, up 3% in comparison to the fourth quarter of 2019, when an EBITDA margin of 36.7% in spite of all the macroeconomic difficulties. On an annual basis, excluding the Paraguayan operations that were sold, even with the pandemic, we were able to reach a consolidated adjusted EBITDA of $343 million, an increase of 13% over 2019, while margin went up to 26.8%, an increase of 6.4 percentage points over the year before. On the top of that, one cannot forget that we had totally different hubs in 2020. This is why we say that 2020 was Intercement's turnaround year.
Yeah, Paulo, it's exciting to see Intercement reaching this level of EBITDA and this level of profitability after so many years of challenges. It certainly reflects the great efforts the whole company has been putting together in recent years, and also the result-driven culture that the management is pursuing and has been fostering. Now, in terms of working capital variation, CapEx, can you quickly comment on the related cash moves?
Sure, but no major outline in the quarter. In terms of working capital, fluctuation in operational assets and liabilities was nearly zero in the quarter, affected by several cash initiatives that were implemented during the second and third quarter of 2020 in order to preserve cash in the context of COVID, and which were released back in the fourth quarter towards more usual business standards. CapEx totaled $37 million in the quarter, a 52% decline when compared to the fourth quarter of 2019, not only because of the rationalization in the context of COVID, but also and mainly because Lamalie project is moving to its final phase, as commissioning is expected to by the end of this first half. Nick, perhaps moving gears now to our debt structure, could you comment on the actual currency profile and why we had net financial expenses higher in the quarter in comparison to the same period of 2019? This way I can have some water.
Yeah, great, sure. I'll give you a rest, Paulo. Let's briefly walk through the financing points. Before we get into details of the financing cash flow, it's important to highlight to everybody that after the debentures refinancing back in June, our debt profile became 57% denominated in Brazilian reais, which makes it much more adverse to our revenues. Also, as a consequence, Brazilian real variation plays now a bigger role on the debt evolution in US dollar terms. Moreover, the refinancing of the debentures also brought a new schedule of payments, what has led us to pay $25 million on interest in the quarter, an amount $7 million higher than the $18 million paid in the fourth quarter of last year, but only due to a matter of timing. In fact, when considering full year 2020 in comparison to 2019, the amount of interest paid in 2020 decreased 9% versus 2019, reflecting the lower total debt and lower interest rates.
Well said, Nick. As we ended 2020 with a cash position of $261 million, net debt dropped to $1,360 million, far below the $1,571 million registered in December 2019. Consequently, the company was able to reduce the financial leverage to 4.73 times in 2019 to 3.8 times now at the end of 2020, or 3.97 times excluding the divested Paraguayan operations. Again, a very solid deleveraging pattern and way below what we expect back in the first quarter of 2020 when COVID initial outbreak took place.
That is true, Paulo. Impressive achievement. And what to expect going forward on the front of leverage or capital structure? I'm asking that because last June, Intercement aborted an exchange offer for the 2024 bonds. So, does the company plan to come back to the capital markets?
Before anything, let me emphasize that after the slightly over $900 million debentures refinancing last June, We now have a comfortable debt amortization in the short and medium term, with no liquidity pressure until 2024. Moreover, in the very short term, most of the major lines this year are related to working capital facilities at the operating company's level. Therefore, one can expect them to be naturally rolled over. A key event that remains to be addressed until May 2024 is the extension of our 2024 senior notes so that the local banks do not trigger the debentures early call option, so that the final debenture maturity goes to 2027 as planned. Therefore, we plan to actively manage our debt profile with particular focus on extending the 2024 senior notes, as we believe it is prudent to explore opportunities to repay debt and extend maturities when favorable conditions arise. Therefore, we are exploring the possibility of raising proceeds from a private placement or an initial public offering of equity interests in our operations in Brazil. In either option, we would maintain a controlled interest in our Brazilian operations, similar to what we did with Luma Negra in Argentina. By the way, we have been extremely pleased with Luma Negra performance since it went public. Luma has improved all its operating and credit metrics, providing a solid example on how to thrive in a difficult environment. Unfortunately, Luma Negra's share price is driven by macroeconomics and macro environment in Argentina and not based on the company's performance. I guess what I'm saying here is nothing new for those who follow our company and particularly our liability management program. Perhaps what we have reconsidered is the sequencing different our initiatives, as a potential equity injection would reduce dramatically our leverage. Consequently, such a step would materially improve the credit statistics of our company and therefore put us in a unique position to access the debt capital market to extend our senior notes. Needless to say that any implementation of one or more of these transactions would be subject to market and other customary conditions, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes, Paulo, definitely 2020 looked as a turnaround year for us, and financial prospects, including liquidity, look much better. Can we expect this healthy trend to continue? Although Investimentos does not provide any quantitative guidance, perhaps, Paulo, you could share your broad view for this year, 2021.
Well, as I kept saying over the last quarters, despite the second COVID wave, I continue to be cautiously optimistic for 2021. Prospects of our African operations are better this year. South Africa continues its turnaround in operations while the bulk market appears to be waking up. Mozambique may face some delays on the natural gas exploration projects, but the trend is favorable. Egypt is the only country where the market improvement is a question mark. Nevertheless, the Egyptian government is fully aware of what's going on, including the disruption generated by the state plant in the cement market. So discussions between the government and the cement players are taking place, so that it's difficult to imagine that things can go worse. In Argentina, we should have a year similar to last year, although a bit more stable, as the government shall take whatever measures are needed in order to assure successful regional elections in October. At the same time, the Argentinian consumer mindset of investing in real estate assets, new or remodeling old ones, as a proxy for hard currency shall continue to benefit the cement industry. Finally, in Brazil, the pandemic changed the consumer mindset towards residential improvements and some deurbanization. At the same time, low interest rates are forcing investors to migrate away from fixed income and, at the same time, motivating people to replace housing rental by taking mortgages to buy their own house. To support my optimism, in fact, 2021 had a great start, with the first quarter volume coming at 4.6 million tons. That is 11% higher than the volume booked in the first half of 2020. Therefore, in a nutshell, if we saw an adjusted EBITDA of 343 million in 2020, this year we expect a stronger figure driven by all our operations, but mainly from Brazil, as we believe a new cement cycle has started in the country.
Well, Paulo, no doubt that we had a fruitful discussion this morning so far, and prospects for the year are encouraging. I guess now it's a good moment to open the floor for some questions from our investors, analysts, and bankers. I'd like to remember all that if you'd like to ask a question, you may send it via webcast. Well, we have a question from Jonathan from Deadwire. He asked about the cash balance at the Brazil subsidiary. From December, the end of the year, we had a position of cash in Brazil of around $82 million. And in Argentina, we had around $52 million. And the remaining in the whole company, around $85 million.
The second question comes from Lorena on Lucro Analytics. Do you have an estimated timing for the liability management transaction? Again, it's important to see that our liability management program is really composed of a series of steps. The two steps that I mentioned here, a potential equity transaction with our Brazilian subsidiary, private or public offer, and also an extension of our 24 senior notes. Again, I guess it's important to make sure that we are in the right moment. I guess marketing in Brazil is good. I guess the company is really moving up. We have no doubt that, this is going to be a great year, but, 2022 is going to be even better. So, we are carefully preparing the company and making sure if the opportunity arises, the valuation is the right one, we can access the local market. But we are not in a rush. We really want to make sure that we do things right. The third question comes from Mike Betts from Database Analysis. Please, could you talk about the Q1 price trends? I guess what we are seeing really varies depending on the region that we are operating. But starting with the other side of the Atlantic, I guess Egypt is also presenting a kind of upwards trend, although difficult to trying to segregate the rationale for that. I mean, local players, they do not know what is going on that price recovery a little bit. I guess South Africa continue its trend. Mozambique is it's kind of same level. Same thing that we are seeing in Argentina. I guess that there depreciation of the currency is moving the same pace of the local inflation, therefore continues to have a very interesting price level, while Brazil has our lowest price level in dollar terms. I guess only Egypt is lower than Brazil. That means that the country has still a huge upside I guess little by little is recovering, but of course, what I'm saying here is in reais, because any dollar change may put everything down the drain. But anyway, the local trend is positive. The next one comes from, how is Intersement Brazil performing in locally in Brazil? Volumes relative to peers and the data we see in SNIC. I guess that depend on the quarter, it's a little bit up and or down. What we are trying to avoid in Brazil is really not entering any price war. I guess the local industry had a huge change in structure. We had what I call Europeization of the Brazilian market. We had, for example, Vicat from France acquiring Ciplan. We had Titan from Greece acquiring Apodi. We had Buzzi from Italy acquiring Brennan and later on the assets of CHR. We also had Farallon acquiring Elizabeth. Therefore, all those players, they are much more rational than the local players, and therefore they really are trying to make sure that the money they invest in the acquisition, they can have a decent return. On the top of that, I would say that CSN also fill up its production capacity. Therefore, it's now driving to price in order to reach profitability, also a nice sign. The key players here had major changes in their chairman or CEO position, you know, bringing people that are not only focused on market share, but also in profitability. So the whole industry is in a different stage. Therefore, I would say that Intercement price-wise, Intercement Brazil price-wise is performing above the industry, but mainly because of our go-to-market strategy that is in place. Okay. But we do not expect, you know, any player to achieve a much bigger or much lower market share. I guess everybody's moving according to the flow. Next question comes from Philip Kendall from Schroders. How much will you try to raise through an IPO? Well, again, we have not decided if it's going to be an IPO or a private placement. However, I mean, if you think that we could use the same structure that we used in Argentina with Loma Negra, 49% in the marketplace, I would say that, again, having a company that has a 16.3 million tons of installed capacity, we are operating at around 9 point something. You have multiples around $200 per ton. I guess that you can conclude that we should have, you know, kind of a decent valuation, you know, around 13 billion reais, and we are talking about roughly 49% of that. But again, this is a kind of a back of the envelope calculation, because it's too premature to talk about, you know, valuation at this point in time. Mm-hmm. Okay. Next question comes from Anne Mill from Bank of America. What changes in cash flow, costs, margins should we expect out of Argentina once La Mali project begins? Well, I guess it's important to realize that Argentina lived a kind of a different situation during the pandemic, because all the public tariffs were kept frozen by the government. Those tariffs are being are being adjusted, let's put it this way. I guess they are not frozen anymore. And at the same time, we are planning to have La Mali 2 into full speed in the second half of this year. I would say that the change in the cost structure is not going to be that big, because of course productivity is going to go up on one hand, but at the same time, because of the tariffs that are being unfrozen, I guess that one should be netting out the other.
Well, we have no more questions. I guess we had a great morning, Paulo, despite the continued limitations for the call.
Nick, needless to say that I also enjoyed our earnings fire chat as well. So let me thank you all for joining us today. As I mentioned in the past, let me reemphasize that I'm fully convinced that Intercement has all the strengths and competencies to overcome ongoing challenges. No doubt that we'll continue stretching ourselves to be a reference in the cement industry, especially in South America and Africa regions. Once again, thank you all and have a great day. Stay safe and healthy.
Ladies and gentlemen, the conference is now over. Thank you all for joining today and have a pleasant day. Goodbye.